Hello, how are we all tonight? Lovely to see you. I might just say a quick word of prayer before we hook into it. Father, I just pray that tonight, Holy Spirit, you would use me, use my weakness to bring across your strength, that your words would speak through me, that I would be less and you would be more. So I just pray that you also help us to receive what it is that you want us to say, and Holy Spirit, that we'd be attentive to what that is. Amen. Cool. So I'm pretty sure that we all know, or most of us would know, that Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birth. Pretty much everyone, yep, no, cool. The question that I was asking myself this week was, is that why I'm really excited about Christmas? In all honesty, is that why I'm super stoked that on Friday I'm going to the coast? Or, you know, like, is Jesus' birth really, in my heart of hearts, what I'm celebrating? So for some of you and me, probably, in all honesty, I'm probably more stoked about the fact that I don't have to go to work for 2 weeks. Some of you might be stoked, especially uni students who have 4 million years of holidays anyway, might be stoked that you get to spend some time with family and friends. Some of you, like me, not like me, are probably really stoked to be eating a whole heap of food and having that Christmas food coma. And some of you may be really, really focused on getting presents, but I don't think that's anyone here. Now, I was thinking about this, and coming up to Christmas is a pretty stressful time. And for me, it was pretty difficult to actually connect with the Christmas story. Now, what I mean by that is I've realized that I really connect with the theory, right? I understand the concepts, but truly connecting with it in my heart, as kind of Jess talked about, we know it, but is it actually real to us in our heart of hearts? So, well, what's the truth of it? I'll go over the truth of it just in case we're not clear on it. And the truth of it is, well, we have for us to understand why Christmas is a really rad time and to celebrate Jesus' birth, we have to understand why he came. And I'll probably go through this relatively quickly. I get a little bit excited about it sometimes when I talk about it. But for me, the engineer in me thinks that Jesus came a lot to solve a problem. Now, we know that God created the universe. So with a word, which is pretty awesome, he just went, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be people, let there be earth, fish, you know, rad things. He just spoke it into being, and it was. Like, that's pretty awesome. And I think that, and so God's made this really cool thing, and he's gone, yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know anyone here, probably YWAMers, you're a pretty creative bunch, but anyone else here, like an artist or a musician or someone who creates things, would you just like to be able to just say, hey, be and it is? Like, would you like to, I'm terrible at painting, like I'm useless. Or clay, you should see some of the pieces that I've made. It's like these lumps of, like, formless earth, and yeah, it's not cool. So anyway, here's this creation, and it's pretty cool that God was like, yeah, it's good. Creation is good. I'm pretty happy about it. It's a good thing. I would not like to be a part of a creation like one of mine where I'm like, that's not so cool. So God's made the universe, and he's made it super rad. I could get all super juiced about intelligent design and how, anyway, I won't talk about that. But we stuffed it up. So we had the what religious term is the fall, which is essentially God, through his will, spoke the universe into being. And he kind of did this thing like, you know, in Lion King, where there's Mufasa and there's Simba, and Mufasa's like saying, everything the sun touches is yours, Simba, except for that black bit. And of course, Simba went to the black bit, and everyone who's seen Lion King. If you haven't seen Lion King, I won't ruin it for you. Mufasa dies. we kind of did the same thing. God was like, hey, you know, don't, you can, you have dominion over the earth, the fish, the birds, everything else. It's all yours. Just don't go and eat that. And us, because we wanted to be like God and we have free will, because free wills are a prerequisite for relationship, which I'll talk a little bit more about. But God, we kind of said, oh, actually, God, we think we know what we're doing. Here we go. Have a bite. And a big stuff you to Jesus and God, which is pretty much not cool. So there's the problem, right? Now, we know that also Jesus came to fix it by his death and resurrection. So, and one of the cool things is when Jesus came, he made everything right, because when he died on the cross, he dealt with the us being sinful problem and also gave us a new way, which is the resurrection thing. I think that's basically the backstory. Now, as an engineer, now some of you have probably figured out that I'm an engineer because I'm not creative. This actually makes sense to me. And I was thinking about what would it be like to have created something that, you know, you thought was really cool and good, but then in the end, there was an issue with it. And it reminded me of this story. And it wasn't a story. It actually happened to me. Basically, part of my job is to solve problems by creating machines. And I think, you know, I've talked a lot about creative types, but anyone who makes something is in this category of being a creator. So I created this machine. It was pretty rad. I'm pretty humble about it in the sense that it could lift 100 ton. It has 10 wheels and all look balanced out the load. And I was going to show you a video, but I thought that was a bit too arrogant. But there's this... So this machine... built it here in Toowoomba and sent it off, and I was like, yes, that was awesome. Anyway, the guy who went and commissioned it came back and said, actually, Alan, that wasn't so good. There were some issues with that thing. It was overheating and wasn't steering properly and basically caught on fire. Didn't actually caught on fire, but I didn't understand what the problem was, so I had to go and fix it. So I had to leave Toowoomba, go up to Mongolia, which is... it sounds like it's a fun place. The Gobi Desert, there's nothing. There's literally nothing. It's pretty cool, but I had to go and physically get my hands on the problem and see how it was working. And I had to pull levers and change bits and change settings to fix the problem. And I don't know about you, but while I was doing that, I had this kind of revelation that that's a little bit like what Jesus does. You know, there's the universe and then there's a problem and he fixes it. And I thought, oh, this is cool. Like, I can kind of meet with Jesus in this story of, you know, being the creator and fixing something. And I guess for me, my brain connects with that very well. And I'm really thankful that, you know, Jesus died. And that, as Jess said, we don't have to carry this burden of sin. We don't have to walk around with it. That actually makes me really thankful. But, and I guess in my thinking this week, I focused on why Jesus came. So when we celebrate Christmas, we think of Jesus coming to eventually die for us and be risen again so that we can have new life. And that's really cool. But I never really thought about how Jesus came. If you think about it, why was Jesus born? This really, really interesting question has been playing in my head for the last little while. Think about it, right? You've got the God of creation, literally someone who is outside of time and space, who made all of this, physics, human relationship, the human body, all of its complexity. He made it with a word. He made it by saying it. And he came and fixed it by becoming a part of it. He came as a helpless baby. Now, someone who... and for me in my brain, that really didn't really... I didn't understand how to rationalize that. Because, I mean, if I was the creator, I would probably come and just be like, fellas, I'm here to solve a problem. I'm going to solve it. I'm fixing it. It's kind of like... when Jesus came, not only did he fix creation, he also became a part of it and hence changing it, which is a really, really cool concept that I think, is changing the way that I think about Christmas, and it's making me super excited about it. Like, you've got this God of creation and who humbled himself to be like a child to change the whole face of human history, and it's like me being a part of the machine, not going and fixing it and changing the levers, but me being a critical component within it. Or it's like a musician being part of the melody of a song that fixes it and makes it right. Or I don't know what other or other analogies that might speak to you, but for me that kind of speaks to me. Now, that's all cool. And you might be thinking, oh, why are you talking about engineering? That's really weird. That why are you comparing God to a machine and stuff? Well, partly it's the way I understand it. And I wanted to talk about a few things of why Jesus coming to creation and being a part of it is cool. Because, to be honest, I miss it. I miss the point of it, I think, sometimes. I get the point of the fact that Jesus came to do a job. But one of the things that I think I overlook quite often when I think about... One of the things that I overlook quite often when I think about the fact that Jesus came was when we stuffed up the world with sin, we not only stuffed up in terms of sin equaling death, but we also stuffed up relationship. You think about it, like God was cruising around with Adam and Eve in the garden, and because of our actions, completely changed the way that we relate to God. But then with Jesus coming, he changes the way that we can relate to him, and he makes a way that we can actually have a relationship with him. And this is where it starts to speak to my heart. So I'll talk about this here. So in John 1:1-5, which Steve actually has already spoke about, in the beginning was the Word. So if you think about the Word, think about Jesus, and I could talk about this for a long time because it's pretty cool. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, or Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So that's pretty cool. And if you keep reading, in verse 14, now this is, this kind of explains a little bit about, for me at least, why Jesus came as a baby. So the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Just want to stop there and just think about the Word. So Jesus became, means he transitioned, flesh. So he became human. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has, and in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with him, with the Father, has made him known. Okay, so think about it like this. You've got the God of creation. He's outside of time and space. I don't know about you, but I can't fathom being outside of time and space. Like, that for me is an impossible thing to think about, and it would be very hard for us to comprehend who God is. But Jesus came so that we could understand who God is and we can have relationship with him. That's pretty cool. Like, we can actually, through Jesus' life, see who he is. Like, the fact that there's four accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible, in the four Gospels, means that it must be pretty important that we have four different tellings of who he is. And by Jesus coming, we can actually understand an incomprehensible God, because no one's ever seen God. How can we understand him? I think of it like this. Who's seen the movie Interstellar? Okay. I won't spoil too much of it, and I'm sorry for those of you who haven't seen it. But you know the scene where there's he goes into the black hole and there's all the bookcases? Basically, one of the things that I realize is that in that, there were these fifth dimensional beings or whatever. And for the astronaut Matthew McConaughey to understand what was going on, they created a construct where time had a physical presence. So they created something that he could understand, right? It's the same thing with God. He created a way for us to meet with him by creating Jesus. That's pretty rad. Like, it's pretty cool that that he did it because he loves us and he wants to get to know us and he wants to create a relationship with him. And I often, so often forget that that's one of the key points of why God came and freed us. It's not just so that we can be free, it's so that we can have communion and have a relationship with him. And I so often forget that. I so often miss that. In the busyness of life and the chaos and just thinking about all the stressful things, I forget to include him in my day. I forget to think about, man, Jesus is behind the bookcase. He makes a way for us to understand him. The other really cool thing about Jesus coming as a baby and not, you know, rocking up on a massive white horse and chariots of fire and big trumpets and stuff is the fact that no one can say that he wasn't human. He was fully flesh. He had 100% experienced the human condition. And we were singing in some of those hymns about how, you know, we can sympathize, or he understands our weakness. Man, if you're having a situation or you're finding that there's a problem in your life, Jesus has walked it. He knows it, man. Like, he grew up. He had a kid. He didn't have a kid. He was a kid. Heresy. Stay away from the lightning. Yeah, okay, cool. Can we delete that, Kendo? He didn't have a kid. He grew up as a child. Like, you think about what it would take for the God of creation to come as a powerless child. But he did it so that no one could say, hey, you don't understand me. You can't understand me because you haven't walked my life. No, Jesus has walked it. And it's really cool because it means as though we can have a relationship with him and we can have a depth of relationship with him that wouldn't have been available if he came any other way. So what I mean by that, in Hebrews 4:14-16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now get this, this is our response. Then let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's pretty awesome, and I forget it a lot. So I'm going to finish up very soon. I guess it's my encouragement this Christmas is let Jesus be present in your Christmas. He understands what's going on. Like, you could be, and like I have in many times in my life, been rejected, downcast, abused or betrayed, in pain, confused, a whole heap of things. And Jesus understands that. And the fact that he's been in that position and he can empathize with our weakness means that we can approach him and he understands and he can talk to us and he can relate to us in that issue. Like, think about the point in which, you know, you might be betrayed or there's been instances in my life where, you know, a trusted friend has gone and basically stabbed me in the back, and that hurts. That hurts big time. And I have the temptation of running away from that and running away from God and just being like, oh, life sucks. This is crap. I hate this. This is the worst. But instead, and what I've been challenged to do is actually run to Jesus and say, man, Jesus, you loved me so much that you came to earth knowing that you're going to be betrayed. You came to earth knowing that you're going to suffer all this stuff because you love me and you wanted to free me and you wanted to have a relationship with me. Man, that changes the way that I view life, and that just changes the way that I view God. Now, I don't have a formula for you to... I wish I did, but I don't have a formula for you to say, hey, this is how you experience the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. Do these simple steps. I mean, you can follow the word and you can spend time with him. I think that's probably the biggest thing, because it says in James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. All those sorts of things. And which I will be doing over this Christmas. And I guess the challenge that I want to put out there and the encouragement is, let us be a little bit like Paul this Christmas. Now, it's a bit long, so I'll read it in the message because it's a lot easier to read. Because I think it can be tempting to, you know, focus on the food, focus on the presents, and focus on the family time. But Paul had this awesome, awesome take on a relationship with Jesus. And this is how much he valued it. The very credentials these people, and this is from Philippians 3. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I don't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I want to do it. Now, I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out to me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Jesus, thank you so much that you've made a way for us. I pray that in the busyness in our lives, we can take the time to stop and to think and actually to let go of all the stuff that holds us back. Where we go reaching for our burdens, that you'll help us to let it go again. Where we're ensnared by sin, that you'll help us to cut it off and be healed. But in all things, that we would focus on you, Jesus, and not only the fact that you died and you dealt with sin and you dealt with the problem, but that you came again for the resurrection power that made a way for us to be alive, that you made a way for us to live, and made a way for us to have a relationship with you again, so that we can not only just, you know, exist in creation, but that we can be co-heirs with Christ and know the fullness of your glory and fullness of your power and righteousness. And I just thank you, God, that that is a reason to celebrate. I thank you, Jesus, that we can celebrate your birth because you came in a human form, and that's a way for us to identify and connect with you, Jesus. And I thank you that you did it so humbly and that you did it because you love us, Jesus. That blows my mind that the God of all creation, of time and space, would love me, would love everyone here individually and personally, and personally wants to know us and have a relationship. I just thank you, Jesus, and I pray that would get us excited, that would motivate us, and that would change who we are by the renewing of our mind. Amen.